Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, you may want to turn there now, shares one of his great concerns, and that's that there would come a day when he would grow cold, become indifferent, become distracted, and become unapproved so that God cannot use him. Great concern. It ought to be the concern of every child of God. It is my concern that one day the aisles would grow cold here at Fundamental Baptist Church, that the amens would grow silent, the baptistry waters would stop moving, the tears would dry up, and we'd just become a church that stands up and has a little Bible. And I emphasize the word little, and lives are never changed. But we maintain the saints and have no outreach, none to speak of. Listen, with 7 billion people on this planet, there ought to be people saved every week. Every week of the year, every church ought to have fruit. Fruit that is lasting. It's a great concern. I pray that that'll never happen here. I shared in Sunday school, probably 20 people, 20 professions of faith there at the funeral service on Friday afternoon. It was a wonderful time. Shared with some of the preachers afterwards, you know what? Some of those people, we may never get out to Fundamental Baptist Church, but they're going to heaven. And it'd be wonderful if they got plugged in. That's what God's will is. And they would grow, and then their kids would get saved, and their grandkids would get saved, and it just it'd spider web out the way it's supposed to. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way for a lot of people. But there's going to be a sea of people there at home in heaven that we'll find out got saved through the ministries of this church, direct ministries of this church, because we kept shining forth the light as a people of God. People get saved here in our services. People get saved in our ministries. Let's not ever get to the place where that ceases. Puke. That's what that kind of religion is. Pastor, I'm just quoting what Jesus said in Revelation in chapter 3. He said, that's nauseating. I'll spit you out of my mouth. So we don't want that kind of lukewarm religianity. I said in Sunday school, I mean it. I don't have the ability to do it, but I mean it. Man, if Jesus doesn't return very soon and I go home to glory and Bill or Josh are in the pulpit and they're good men, I know that. But if we ever get to the place where Fundamental Baptist Church becomes fancy, I'm going to burn down your house. Man, that's just not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. That is not the church of Jesus Christ. That is a country club mentality where people are just gathered together and just maintain nice little buildings and maintaining. Man, that is not it. Please understand that. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. I suppose you're there by now. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, and I'd like to read a lot. I'll read just a little bit. I'll start with verse 16. I want to get to the last several verses of this chapter. I know the passage may not be new to you, but what I want to share with you, I believe it's what we need to hear this morning, and it's new to me, and I'm trusting that God will bless. And again, the backslider many times is the last person to realize that they've gotten apathetic, that they have grown cold. In fact, Proverbs 14:14, loose paraphrase, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways and is desensitized. And many times they're the last people to know that they're not right with God. That's like having bad breath. Most people won't tell you you got it. And you'll be the last people to recognize, hey, I've got bad breath. And you're backslidden, and you're foul, and you're hurting the cause of Christ. And Paul here, Samson in the Old Testament, wist not that the Spirit of God was gone from him. It's like we're the last people to know sometimes. We need revival. We're praying for statewide revival. And I want you to know, since we started praying hard for revival, the devil has been on the attack. And he's hurting families that aren't close to God. And some that were close to God, but they had chinks in their armor. And man, I want to challenge you this morning. Run to Jesus. Run to the great shepherd. Run to the lover of your soul. He's the one that is going to protect you. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And we all have a time and place in church history. And our time is now. And we're to be faithful to God. Verse 18 says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Can't be a bull in the china shop, not when you're given that ability. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Servant seems to be the key word based on Sunday school this morning. That I might gain the more. I'm a servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law. And to them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And then Paul uses a great example of the Isthmian Games. And everybody in the culture of the day knew exactly what Paul was talking about when he talks about the wrestler and the runner and the boxer in this passage of Scripture. And what we are about to do and what we are at this morning is not a game. The souls of men, women, and children are in the balance. But much like the athlete, we are called of God to sacrifice. The athlete puts out more than the spectator. The athlete is the one performing and getting the job done and sweating and toiling and suffering defeats and knowing victory. The spectator, they're just sitting in the grandstand. And they may be cheering people on. Amen, somebody got saved. But they're not leading anybody to Christ themselves. Because they're not willing to sweat. They're not willing to prepare. That's kind of what my message is about this morning. I hope to make these 3 points crystal clear. Let's have a quick word of prayer again. God, would you bless this morning? Take over and what we're about to do. May this preaching be your preaching. May you take the word of God and encourage the saint. And if there's someone here that is not born again, we pray, God, that today they trust you for salvation. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I am no Apostle Paul. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a great man like the Apostle Paul. I don't have the care of all the churches like the Apostle Paul had in that first century. What a great man of God he was. And yet he was concerned about becoming unapproved. About someday, because of his lifestyle, being set aside. Being set on a shelf. God no longer using him. The church in which God writes Ichabod. God's word never returns void. Little Bible's preached, that's wonderful. Little things will happen. But when a church is committed to Christ and has a big God and a big Bible, everything changes. Paul was concerned the day would come when he wouldn't be getting the job done. There are a lot of battles that have been lost in our culture. And I know what I'm saying when I say this. In our culture, we've lost the battle of the media. We've lost the battle of the universities. You want to know where all this debauchery and liberalism is coming from or being fostered? In the hotbed? Universities. To the core. Ah. Don just told me something about they were down in Florida. Spring break. He said, you want to see wickedness? Yeah, you know where that's all coming from? I'm not saying, oh, it's the young people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's those old codgers in the university that think they know more than God. And they've lifted all the rules. And they do their best to downplay God and discourage anybody that has any kind of faith. And everybody's all caught up in themselves and self-absorbed. And we're so smart, we don't need God anymore. And that's our culture. We've lost the battle of the universities. Let's go a step further. Lost the battle in the churches. Christ is no longer being exalted. I'm not saying here, but I'm saying it could happen here. I will tell you, all over America. And people are so proud of themselves because they got, just like the church at Laodicea, big offering plates. That's mentioned there, Revelation chapter 3. They're rich, but they're poor. And they have nothing. They won't be raptured, by the way. Read that passage. Christ is on the outside. So Paul, being concerned about being unapproved, this passage does not teach you lose your salvation. This does not oppose the rest of the Word of God. This passage does not contradict even Hebrews 6, what I preached last Sunday morning. This passage, what Paul is talking about here, is people that are in the fight. They're in the game. They're striking blows for God. But because of sloppiness and undiscipline, and because they're not willing to prepare and go the extra mile, God has to say, they become a cracked vessel. A vessel that does not hold water anymore. And the potter has to take it, or the baker has to take it, or whatever, and just set it on the shelf. It's not to the point where it's thrown away, but it just becomes used for something else, maybe a pencil holder or something, and just set over on the side, and the work is being done over here. Paul, that's the very word Paul uses at the end of this chapter when he uses the word unapproved. Paul said, my biggest fear is that I'd grow cold and apathetic, and God would set me aside. He who is in the heat of the battle and knows the taste of victory and the great sense of accomplishment of being used of God, come to a place where God says, I can't use you anymore, and sets him on a shelf. Let's read about it. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, referring to the Grecian games, the Isthmian games. He said, you know this, everybody that competes in one of the races of the games, they give it everything they got. These are men that are just 100% athlete. They just do everything they can do for the glory of God, or for the glory that they want to receive there in the games. He uses this as an illustration. He said, you play to win. You practice to win. You run. If you don't, you don't win. You don't, you're the sloppy team. You don't. You're the team that's undisciplined. You're the athlete that didn't push your body further than it's ever been before, and therefore you're not able to perform in the big event. And he says, in the race of life, in this living for God, you've got to play to win. By that, he doesn't mean cutthroat with your brethren. He's talking about giving it everything you have. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. It speaks of control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Here he makes this little transition because this is an illustration. Now everybody's going to live for God that striveth for the mastery. Man, you got to... You know, you're temperate, you're controlled, you're becoming more and more like Jesus. You're not that loose cannon, and you know what it is to go the extra mile, and you can sacrifice periodically. You can sacrifice and give of yourself because you know there's greater good going on. That's the athlete. Big wrestler. My name slipped my mind. Ben Gable. First name Ben, am I right? Ben Gable. Big wrestler. One of Ben Peterson's teammates in the Olympics. And I heard this story, and you can read his life story if you want in a book that's out. I can't remember the name of the book right now. But Ben Gable never, think about this, as a teenager, when he started wrestling, and he started out not real good, but once he got good, once he got to, I think it was around seventh grade, he never lost. You say, man, that's wonderful that God blessed him that way, or that God enabled him. What a gift. No, it wasn't a gift. He worked when no one else would work. Listen to this. All through junior high, high school, college, Olympics, he never t- tasted a potato chip. Never. Because his body was a machine. Man, he never lost until his final event in college. Four-time All-American. Never lost. The last wrestling match for the gold medal. I don't know if it's gold medal or not in the NCAA. Yeah, it is. All right. He never lost until that point, and he lost, and he come unglued. There's a long story there. I'm off on a tangent right now. His mom went to him in the wrestler's dorm, and he was sitting there at the table in at the kitchen feeling sorry for himself, and she went in there and basically slapped him in the face and told him to grow up and be a man, and, you know, he only lost one time, and then he went on and won gold medal in the Olympics multiple times. But he was disciplined. He was an athlete. He was one that was willing to be different than his peers. We ought to be that way in the family of God and in the race of life. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, gold medal, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. I know this from Golden Glove Boxing. I know this. The hardest thing for me to do was to spar, was the shadow blocks. To me, that was harder than sparring. Sparring wasn't difficult because when you threw a punch and you landed the blow, it was like fulfillment. And I don't know, it's genetically, as far as your muscle structure, it's not as hard on your body as swinging and missing. It takes all your strength. You swing and you miss. That's why shadow boxing was so hard for me. When the coach said 2 minutes of shadow boxing, I go, oh, man, you're kidding me. Because that was just, you know, you're bobbing and weaving, and I'd show you, and you'd be impressed. But, I turned 60 yesterday, so I just kind of let that go, right? But if you'd have caught me when I was 59, I'd show you, all right? But I turned 60. So, but yeah, and swinging and missing, it just takes all of your energy. Some of us are sloppy with our Christian lives. And we do a lot of swinging and missing. We don't hit the mark. We're not disciplined. In fact, we're sloppy. Because we don't prepare to win, and because we're sloppy, hit my Bible one day, miss it the next day, read my Bible 10 minutes one day, you know, read it a lot the next day. Oh, I went to preaching today. I don't need to read my Bible as much today. And we're just sloppy. You know, and because we're not that disciplined athlete spiritually, God's not able to do great things. This is the Apostle Paul saying this. Could there have been anybody more disciplined than the Apostle Paul? This man that went to city after city and village to village, going where the name of Christ had never been named, going to all kind of Gentile world and in the continent of Europe, and standing and proclaiming Jesus Christ, this man who was could have had an easy life as a rabbi, but he met Jesus and got born again, and said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God just moved him. And man, he just went from city to city proclaiming the truth. Could anybody have lived a more disciplined life? Ends up losing his head in the Appian Way. Martyred for the cause of Christ. After 2 imprisonments. And he was worried about being undisciplined. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as the one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was concerned about not being disciplined. Verse 24, great effort, great energy, great price, great struggle. He knew what it was to bleed. He knew what it was to sweat. He knew what it was to toil and endure toiling. That word endure is a key part of his life. And he went on for God because he wasn't sloppy. And he was playing to win. Don't be afraid of the fire. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5 very quickly. Chapter 1. Verse 7. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you, some fire comes by hand, the hand of God comes by design, and don't be afraid of the fire. Don't be afraid to sweat and toil and have a headache and have things go wrong and have things go wrong in bunches. Don't be afraid of life. Continue to honor God. Continue to just go on for God. Sometimes it's going to get to the place where you just got to put one foot in front of the other. That's all you can do. Just put one foot in front of the other. But man, don't get sidelined. Advance the cause of Christ. Bloom right where you are. Build something for God right where you are. Do not be afraid of life. Do not be afraid of the fire. Paul's only fear was this, that he would mess up and become unapproved. And because he had that fear, man, he was anything but sloppy. Doc's in heaven, and in my mind, I equate, when I picture the Apostle Paul, in my mind, here's who I got. I got Dr. Jim Norton right there. There was a man that was disciplined. There's a man that was serious about God. There was a man, I don't think he ever told a woman joke in his life. He shamed me. I should say a mother-in-law joke. Although, I take it back, Doc, I remember, I do. One time he told me, never mind, all right, I don't want to destroy your picture. I remember afterwards, I said, I can't believe you told a mother-in-law joke. And he thought that was real funny, and yeah, just picture him. But he was a great, disciplined man of God. There was nothing sloppy about him, and it was all about discipline and souls. Paul was afraid that, verse 25, he'd lose his distinction. Verse 25 also uses the word strive. Some people grow cynical over the years. Maybe because of the way somebody treated them. Maybe an authority in their life. I want to encourage you today to put on the uniform. Wear the colors that Jesus provides. And be strong for God. Don't be led by the flesh. Too easy. Needs to be distinction. There needs to be discipline. The flesh is selfish. I'm talking about mine. The flesh is stupid. The flesh is self-absorbed and self-gratifying. Don't be led by the flesh. Some people say follow your heart. I've heard parents tell their kids that. Mistake. The heart's desperately wicked. You follow your heart, you're gone. Don't be led by your emotions. Don't follow your heart. Follow the book. Follow God. Don't play for God. Make sure you play for God. Don't lose your distinction. And then verse 26, verse 27, dedication. That's missing today. People that are dedicated. There are people that are dedicated, but I'm just saying as a whole, in the family of God, man, it's missing. I see it in my life. I struggle with discipline. I do. I struggle with dedication. I struggle with distinction because the world's alluring. It is. It'll pull you right in. It'll suck you right in a moment's time. And I struggle with that. And I remind myself of that all the time. I think that's pretty healthy. And then I read the Apostle Paul. He was reminding himself of that. He didn't want to be unapproved. He didn't want to be set aside and set on a shelf. So he was working hard at being disciplined and having distinction from the world, being different than the world, and, of course, being dedicated. And don't talk to me about, say, preacher, you don't know what dedication is. Don't talk to me about that, man. I weigh 214 pounds this morning. I'm lighter than I have been in 25 years. I have been working, and I'm going to write a book about my little diet, and I'll help you. Now, I'm pretty much off of it now, and I'm enjoying life again, but I know what it is. I'm a lover of food, and if I can push away from the table, anybody can. Traveling all the time, right? Going and visiting these preachers for the revival, the statewide revival meeting. You know how many McDonald's I have driven by? You know it's tougher for me than that? You know how many Ponderosas I have driven by? Man, I just, my car all by itself puts the blinker light on. I go, oh, no, and I fight it, and I tell you. You know, just, I love food. See, preacher, how do you lose the weight? Here it is. This is not supported with medicine or medical science, all right? So don't start doing it without a doctor's supervision. But here's how it works. For breakfast, you drink 20 cups of coffee. For lunch, you eat oatmeal, no sugar, no honey, no milk, just water. Now, this is how I did it. I'm not telling you to do it. For supper, I eat supper. And I eat it early because I can't make it any longer in the day. But I'll eat a big supper. And then after six, man, nothing. And I drink lots of no-calorie fruit drinks. And I drink, you know, and so anyway, big tangent. Don't talk to me about dedication. I have been the picture of dedication since the 1st of January. I'm now off the wagon. I want you to know that. But if I can give up food, then you can give up cigarettes. If I can give up food, I can be disciplined in anything. I've come to that conclusion. It's just you do what you want to. That's it. You do what you want to. What you say yes to with your flesh. That's what you become. Now, the Apostle Paul, let's come back to the scripture and get the real Bible and apply it to our life, all right? The Apostle Paul said, I have a big fear. And I don't read anywhere else in the Bible of any of his fears. He's the one that told the young preacher Timothy that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. This kind of fear is healthy. And the Apostle Paul says, I have one fear. I can hear a man of God, a woman of God saying this, that God would stop using me. That's my fear. Let me read verse 27 again. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, he's still a preacher, I myself should be a castaway, a cracked vessel, a leaky vessel, set aside, put on the shelf to gather dust. Still a vessel, but not a choice vessel that God can use. Let's go back again and look at Revelation in closing, chapter 2, and just verse 5. You play to win. You don't be sloppy. You don't be led by the flesh. You play for God. You're dedicated. Even the great church at Ephesus was in danger of having the candlestick removed. God was saying, Ephesus, you get back to loving me again like you first loved me, or I'll turn out the light. I don't want that to happen in my life. We certainly don't want that to happen here at Fundamental. I will remove thy candlestick. Pretty much done. In my mind right now is a man named Demas in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. A fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy in his last letter written on this earth, Timothy, you remember Demas? I'm sure there were good memories. He's gone. He hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Remember Brother Demas? He's not with us anymore. He bought into the world. I'm sure that when Paul wrote that in his dungeon cell, maybe while he was writing, he could hear the chains. I can't see the Apostle Paul writing that and not stopping and weeping. Demas is gone.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.